reminder of the comfort that God gives to us through his word, that he ministers to us. What a tremendous reminder of that. Thank you so much for that, and thank you for that special on the trombone. That was just great. Wasn't that great? Amen. It's so good to see young people that want to use their talents and abilities for Christ. Amen. That's a real, real blessing to see. All right, let's take our Bibles. We'll turn to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, and this is the faith chapter, sometimes called the Hall of Faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. This has been a blessing just being here, seeing every one of you and being able to fellowship and having some guests with us and some folks that we haven't seen for a while that are here. What a blessing. All right, so this morning I'm going to talk to you on the subject of faith. We'll take a look at Hebrews, and I'll go ahead and just read verses 1 through 6. 1 through 6. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now get this verse. We probably many of you have memorized this verse, "but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we're so grateful. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together. We never want to take that lightly, especially in light of where we've been in these last couple of months. It's just great to be together. May it never grow old. May it never become routine, but may we always be grateful and thankful for the opportunities that we have to fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for all that's taken place here this morning. We thank you again for the fellowship. We thank you for the opportunities to sing. Thank you for these specials that we've heard. What a blessing that they've been to our hearts. We thank you for your word. It's a perfect word, and we thank you that you encourage us and exhort us and sometimes admonish, rebuke us. But may we be just faithful to allow you to do whatever work you want to do into our hearts. Because the bottom line is, Lord, we want to be more like you. We want to be more like our great Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us, how you died on a cross, your precious blood that was shed. We thank you for every one of us here that know you, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name. We pray that everything that is done up to this point and now would be to your honor and your glory. I pray certainly as the teaching and the preaching of the word goes forth, again, as I've said before, Lord, I don't want to be in between you and this congregation. I want to get behind and let you speak to our hearts. And so I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would really, truly get me out of the way and address all of the needs that are here today, that you'd work in each and every heart. We pray for somebody here that doesn't know Christ. If there is somebody like that, that you'd work in their hearts and show them that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned, I want to bring up the subject of faith. That's what we see here in this chapter. It is something that is so important in our lives as Christians that we would take heed to having a walk of faith. You know, it was by faith that we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and God gave to us that faith. But now we're to walk by faith. We're to walk in this life trusting in him. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. It's so easy to be inclined to just reacting to everything that we see. And we've seen a whole lot in this country, haven't we? certainly in these last couple of months, things that we've experienced with this virus, and then things that have that we see that are happening on the streets of America all across this country, with rioting and all of those things and the protesting. And you know, it can be certainly very unsettling, and we can get caught up by it, and our eyes of faith can be drawn away from heaven. But may we be more inclined in these days to look unto the Lord and to trust Him and to walk in Him and to walk with Him. Because, folks, we can get so sidetracked. But, folks, if we would just be inclined to want to be determined to do that, you know, we get very, very obsessed with things. I'd say it's a good thing. Maybe that's not the best word to use, obsessed. But if we're going to be obsessed with anything, it ought to be with God. And it ought to be with our walk with Him. Amen. Because we get obsessed with a whole lot of things. You know, with our mutual funds and what's happening with all of that. And we get obsessed with our, you know, our teams. Well, right now, it's hard to get obsessed when your teams aren't playing. All right? I'm hoping that they'll play again down the road. But we get obsessed with a ton of things, with diets. I mean, you know, you go into stores and people are reading labels and we just can get caught up by so many things, and yet we ignore and we neglect sometimes the most important things, the things of faith, the things in regard to our walk with God. And we are encouraged to have a faith that is pleasing and honoring unto Him. We can't, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so I want to speak in regard to some things regarding our faith. The Bible does say that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And again, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked? No, all of the fiery darts of the wicked. When we just learn to walk by faith, I mentioned, and every one of us goes through it, that just in this last month, I have felt a lot of attacks from the devil. You know, if you want to walk with Christ, you're going to be engaged in a spiritual warfare. And I know that the enemy is there, and he has made himself very well known, and I've had to really just get before the Lord's face on my knees, and my wife as well. We've just, you know, just the attacks, and I think about some things that are coming up. I think of this conference and how much the devil doesn't want us to, he doesn't want us to profit by a conference like this. He doesn't want us to go forward for Christ, and he's going to distract, and he's going to do all that he can to take our focus away from the things of the Lord. I want to speak to you about being strong in faith, about having a vibrant faith. The first thing I want to say to those of you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior is that you do have faith. And that faith was given to you by God. He gave us that. It is there for you and I to use. If you do not use it, then folks, it is our own fault when we don't use it. Because He's put that in a nice little package, and the Lord says it's right there at your disposal. I've given you faith. It says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. It's a great verse. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. God says, I've given it to you. And it's right there for you to access. You know, sometimes we just don't want to access it. Sometimes we look at it like it's a package that we just can't open up. I mean, we've all had packages that have been delivered to us. I mean, here lately I've been opening all kinds of boxes. And sometimes if I try to open up those boxes with my hands, it's just like futile. I mean, I can't get anywhere with this. And it's like the Lord says, you've got a Leatherman tool right over there or an X-Acto knife. And it dawns on me, what am I trying to do? I mean, some of these packages are like ironclad. And I just take that little X-Acto knife and just cut along those edges so easy, so nice, and just open it up. And I don't have to rip my fingers into pieces doing it. You know, God's given us faith in that way.
It's just a nice package. And the Lord says, you don't have to try that hard. It's right there. Just open it up and use it. He's given to us faith for us to use.
Let me just say this in this moment, that I want to speak to you here today, if there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that God sent His only begotten Son into this world to live a sinless life, and then to give His life for our sins on the cross. And now you and I have an opportunity to put our trust in Him. I'm so grateful that I did that many years ago and trusted Christ. And so many of you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 31, it says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Just by believing on Christ, the Bible says that we are sinners, that we are on our way to hell, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on our behalf. The Bible says if we'll confess our sins unto Him, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then if we'll understand and realize that, listen, there's nothing we can do about our own sin, but the Bible says that somebody paid the price for our sins. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, He died for you and I, and He was buried and rose again. And Romans chapter 10 tells us so clearly that if we'll come to Him and with our mouth and from our heart, if we'll believe on Christ, believe that He is risen again from the grave, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you're here today, we just urge you. Again, we don't want to get in your face about that. Certainly not. We don't want to be ugly about it, but we want to persuade you, as Paul said that he persuaded men to trust Christ. And so if you're here today, we want to see you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So seeing that we have faith, and God has given that to every person to be able to use, the first point that I bring up is this: how do we grow in this faith? How do we grow in this faith? That's the first question I ask. The first question I ask is, how is your faith doing right now? If you and I had an opportunity to be able to chart it, to be able to monitor it, where would that level be? You know, if it was on a scale of 10, where would your faith level be? Would it be a 7, a 8, a 9? Or would it be a 1 or a 2 or a 3? Have we learned to walk with Christ? Have we learned how to trust Him in every situation? Have we learned how to be able to say, "Lord, you've got this. I don't see the end of this. I don't see how this thing is going to conclude. I don't see how this thing is going to play out, but I trust You. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God," Romans 8, 28. If we'll learn to do that, then that's pleasing unto Him. If we would just simply say, "Lord, I just trust You. I don't have the answers, but if we'll just learn to trust Him, then He'll be pleased with that." It says in 2 Thessalonians, and I just finished 1 Thessalonians in Sunday school this morning, but it said about those believers in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and the first few verses, and it says this in verse 3, as Paul wrote to them again, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." What a great commendation that was being said and stated to this church at Thessalonica. Your faith groweth exceedingly. Does our faith grow exceedingly as we go forth from day to day? The faith of these Thessalonian believers had grown exceedingly, and the Lord was certain to acknowledge that through His apostle. Exceedingly means, folks, we know, a whole lot. Their faith had grown a whole lot. I think of in Matthew chapter 15, and why don't we turn there, Matthew chapter 15. This is quite the story. In verses 21 through 28, we see an example here of somebody who had some great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. They're like, Lord, just get rid of her. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And she came to the Lord, and he tries to put her off. He says, I'm only sent to the house of Israel at this time. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. I can imagine there was a lot of emotions there. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he's God, and he's merciful, and he's compassionate. And he heard her words, and she said, would you just please help me? And he answered and said this. He's going to give her another kind of a put off. He said, it is not meet. It's not right. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Well, you talk about an insult. He says, I can't take the children's bread, the Jews. I'm called to Israel and to cast it to the Gentile dogs. Wow, you think the Lord Jesus did that? He's God. He knows what he's doing. And he said, listen, folks, we are all dogs. That's what we are. None of us deserves heaven. We're just scum. And God was merciful with you and I. And the Lord says, I can't take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she was undeterred. And she said, truth, Lord, that's right. I agree with you. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She had an answer for him. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
What a great story. That woman said, I'm not going to give up. Yes, I am a dog. But even the dogs eat from the master's table. Those crumbs that fall.
And the Lord kept looking and saying, that's the right response. And the Lord said, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. She had jumped over every hurdle because she just humbled herself before Christ. And the Lord says, well, whatever it is you want, you've got it. Folks, we need to be like the widow in the parable who would not let that judge rest. I believe that was in Luke chapter 18. She kept saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Please avenge me of mine adversary. And he finally gave in. And it was a parable, but the idea was this, that she was importunate. You know, we read about a man's importunity in Luke chapter 11, and it was because of his insistence, oh Lord, please, please, I beg of you, please, would you give me the bread? I've got a friend of mine on his journey, and he I need to give him something to eat, but I don't have that bread. Would you please give me that bread? And the Lord said, I'll give it to you. The Lord saw that there was some urgency. The Lord saw that there was a desire, a tenacity to want something from God, because those individuals realized that only God could provide these things. May we have a bit of that in our Christianity, amen? May we have a bit of that in our life as Christians, that God, only you can provide this. God, would you please bring it? Because we can try to stir it up all we want, and it'll just be a bunch of froth. It'll be nothing. We need God to be in all of this. We need God to be in all that's going on in our country. I believe if we get before God and say, God, would you help us help our country? God, help what's going on. Get a hold of some hearts and some lives. And I believe God will get a hold of some hearts and lives. And I believe that God will open up some doors for us as believers. And I believe he'll give us some precious souls to win to Christ. If we just come before him and trust him. For folks, in order for our faith to grow, we have to, it's just going to depend on what we do, on our response. Faith is not a product of our own making. We just simply need to use what God has given to us. It is a gift from him. But how it develops within our life depends on our relationship with him and our availing ourselves of what he's given to us, our walk with him. and God will begin to grow us. With that being said, one of the surest ways of making our faith grow is for us to live holy and godly and obedient lives. I said it in Sunday school and as we went through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but over and over throughout God's word, God commands us to live holy and righteous. Yeah, we're not going to always, you know, ring the bell. We're not always going to strive at that level. Listen, we're sinners that have been saved by grace, and oh, how quickly we go back to our old nature. We just know that. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot for me and my old nature to rise up. All you have to do is, I just happened the other night, I'm sitting at a red light. It's late at night. It was like 10 o'clock at night. There's like no one around, and I'm waiting at a red light. You know, if that red light goes along long enough or stays there long enough, my old nature just starts to rise up. I'm looking at it like, there's no cross traffic. Why is that light staying green? Hello, Mr. Light, let me go. Come on, help me out. The old nature, it doesn't take a whole lot, right? It doesn't take a whole lot. But folks, if we just learn to walk with him, God can help us. God can help us to live a life of faith and to just walk with him. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, that's just a great passage. I won't go there, but that speaks about our walk with Christ and confessing our sins so that we stay right with him. You know, our salvation is forever. We can't lose what Christ has given to us. But our fellowship with him can really go back and forth. And we have to make sure that we restore that fellowship by confessing our sins and then walking with him and doing right and honoring him. And when we do sin, we make sure that we come before him and confess our sin. Another way for our faith to grow is when it gets used. It's like a tool in our toolbox. And once we get used to it, we're able to use it more aptly. We begin to be more proficient at it. When I was a service tech for the gas company, I there were tools that I really wasn't that good at. And I had to use different tools. I had a whole bunch of them. One of them was just pipe wrenches. I hadn't really used pipe wrenches a whole lot, but when you're going to put a whole new meter set and you got a big meter, you're going to have to crank on that thing and work your pipe wrenches. And you know, after, I was really clunky with them for a while, you know, not good. But then after a while, you get good because you use them a lot. And that's what faith is. Faith is something that God's given to us as a tool that we're to use. And as we use it, it begins to be more proficient in us. It's like a muscle that needs to be developed. And as we use it, we find that we get better with it. It's so important that we do that. It's so important that we understand that God takes us through things so that we have to use those tools. God takes us through things so that we have to use certain muscles to get us through a difficult and challenging time. And he helps our faith to grow and to become stronger. If faith is going to grow, then again, you know what that means. We're going to be put through situations. So it's not good for us to just balk at them because we're going to find ourselves staring trials and troubles in the face. And it's there for our good. And if we would understand that, what does James chapter 1 and verse 2 say? Rejoice when you fall into, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Somebody would think, has James like had too many head trauma? Why would he say, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations? Because it's through those temptations and trials and difficulties that we come to know the Lord better and better, that he is seeking to form in our lives. He's trying to manifest Christ in our lives. He's trying to make us more godly, more usable in this life, to be a blessing to others. And so as we go through things, it's just good for us to say, Lord, this is hard, but I thank you because I know you're doing something. Isn't it good to know that we just haven't been left off on our own, but the Lord, he's working on us every day, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is just a wonderful thing that the Lord
that he indwells us, but now he wants to work in our lives each and every day. And it's good for you and I to acknowledge that. To say, Lord, you're there. You're always wanting to work on me. May I be more mindful of that. May I thank you. And I thank you for the challenges and the tough days and the trials, because I know you're wanting to do some great things. And I will just simply trust you in all of that. Someone once said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Our faith, folks, also grows as we listen to and read the Word of God. God speaks to our heart as we read it out of His Word. Also, folks, when we hear it taught and preached. That's why the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The just shall live by faith. As we read the Word of God and we allow the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts and to take the Word of God and to just sink into the soil of our hearts. And now He's wanting to grow some things in us and to make us more like Christ. And so He's wanting to bring these things along. May we just allow that to happen. May we not just read our Bibles just happenstance and just get through it quickly because we want to read the allotted amount of chapters that we're supposed to read each day. May we just stop and just allow God to do in us what He wants to do. May we just realize that it is His Word. You remember what it said about the Thessalonian believers in chapter 2 and verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When we recognize the fact that this is God's word, and God, would you do something in my heart? Would you strengthen my faith? Would you help me as I go forward for Christ? And the Lord will certainly help us. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. I took thy word each and every day and ate it, spiritually speaking, and I just absorbed it and just savored it as it went into my heart. And God was able to do some things in my life. Folks, we have to do that. D.L. Moody said this, do not read too fast, when he's speaking about reading your Bibles. Do not read too fast or too much. Butterflies cover more ground, but bees gather more honey. Imitate the bees. I think that that's good. Yeah, I think reading a lot of Bible is good, but I think he has a point. You can just read and read and read and read, and you don't let anything stick. And it doesn't hit home. Folks, it's important that we just read and we just stop and say, Lord, let it sink into my heart. Show me something that I need to, something that you're trying to admonish me with, something that you're trying to encourage me with. Help my eyes to land on that and to listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to me as I read His Word. You remember the psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, help me to see some wonderful things. Folks, if we'll pray and ask God to show us some things out of His Word, He is going to answer that prayer. Amen. He has always done that. When I just stop and say, Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I rush through Your Word, but help me today. I don't want to do that today. Would You just speak to me? And God has always spoken to me. And He'll speak to us. And we'll walk away from that going, God spoke to me. And He showed me something. And I'm just going to take that through the day. And those are the things that help us to grow when we listen to Him. Now, the second thing that I want to bring up is the evidence of this growth. There ought to be some evidence of this growth. With anything in this life, folks, if there is growth, then with that growth there come telltale signs that clearly show that there is growth happening. So it is with faith. If your faith is growing, then there are ways to know that. There are ways to be able to see that. One of the first ways to know that you're growing in your faith is that there will be a newfound response to trials and adversity. You will go through some things that in the past when you went through them, I think of the disciples when they went out on the lake and then a somewhat calm lake turned into a storm.
It turned into a tempest because of that storm. And you remember how the disciples panicked. And the Lord said, where is your faith? And as time went on, and as the disciples learned how to walk with the Lord, they began to manifest less and less of that panicky state. And you know, that happens with us. We go through something and we wonder, and I, you know, I've said it many times to my wife. I said, you know, this peace that we have through the things that we've gone through, you know, we've been married 39 years, and I still don't get that because he's only 39 years old, like I said a few weeks ago. How does that work? But we've gone through all these years, and there's times when we've gone through some things, and we said, there's just no way we should have this peace. This is not from us. This is God. And God has helped us. And God has given us strength. Not that there aren't times when you just start to feel panicky. You ever feel panicky? You ever start to get a little unsettled? Maybe watching the news at night can make you a little unsettled, huh? And seeing some of the images that we see on the television. But we go through some things and we worry. But then we, as we've learned to walk by faith, and we see us going through something, and we look back and we think, I didn't used to go through things like this. There's a calm now, and there's a settledness. And folks, that's all owing to God. That's all to Him and what He does as we just simply seek to choose to walk by faith and to trust Him. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. God says, you've learned to keep your eyes on me. I will keep you calm and steady through this storm. I'll help you, and I'll give you a peace that passeth understanding. I spoke on that last week in Philippians chapter 4, that we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace that passeth understanding. What is that? The Lord gives us a peace that passeth understanding. How good is it, folks? Folks, you and I will be able to see a marginal gain of profitability. Profitability, I'm speaking of in the spiritual sense. You'll be able to see that you're more profitable. You're more profitable for God to be a blessing to others. Sometimes we went through things and it was barely noticeable, but now we begin to see some things happen in our lives as we walk with Christ. And we see that we're just not the same person that we were. But it is all to His credit. It's all to His doing. God wants to work in your life and in my life. Paul told Timothy, he said, take heed unto thyself. Not to be, you know, not in the sense of being narcissistic. He's just saying, take a good look at your own life and make sure that your heart is right with God. And then he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, meditate upon the things that I've told you. You remember just a few verses before he said, despise thy youth. He says, but be an example to all of the believers in charity and conversation, in word, charity, conversation, spirit, faith, and purity, and all those things be a good example. And he says, as you continue to do all that and keep your eyes focused on the Lord, God will use you and he'll bless you. And he said this in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Think about them, Timothy. You're a young man. Think about these things all the time. Give thyself wholly to them. And then what does he say? That thy profiting may appear to all. You will profit, and it'll appear to all. Everyone will see that, not so that they can say, oh, look at Timothy. No, they will praise the Lord Jesus Christ in you because of the fact that you give your life to Christ. And folks, may our profiting appear to all. May we profit other people because we walk with Christ. May we profit other people because we determine to live a life of faith, and we just will trust Him. And you know, as we learn to walk in faith and grow in our faith, it may be that the Lord may submit you and submerge you into some maybe heavier trials. And you're saying, oh, I don't want that. Oh, no, but it'll be to His glory. And He'll put you through some greater trials. And your profiting will appear to all.
your profiting will appear to you. It'll be a blessing to your children. It'll be a blessing to your siblings. It'll be a blessing to your parents. It'll be a blessing to your grandparents. It'll be a blessing to others around you as we simply learn to walk by faith. God will bless it. And folks, we'll be able to just see what his work as it's taking place in our lives. Paul said this to the church at Philippi when he said in chapter 1 and verse 12, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, how the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." I want you to understand that the things that have taken place in my life, the imprisonments, the persecutions, it was all for a reason. It's so that it would be a blessing. God is going to use it as a blessing to others. And so others seeing me imprisoned, they've become more bold in their faith in Christ. And folks, if they see you in your boldness for Christ and your love for Christ, it'll embolden others to get up to a higher position. God uses it that way. We're not islands unto ourselves, but we can be a blessing unto others just by the fact that we simply walk with Christ. Folks, you'll see it in many other things also. You'll find yourself wanting to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ as you walk by faith. You will have more love for the brethren as you learn to walk by faith. You will have more zeal, and so will I, if we'll learn to walk by faith. You will love to read your Bible more if you and I will learn to walk by faith. And folks, you and I will learn to be patient with the brethren. We're to be patient with all men. And sometimes that's not easy. I mean, I think about her having to be patient with some of the knucklehead things that I've done. We do knucklehead things, right? And sometimes we have to learn to be patient. And husbands and wives, and I'll be speaking about husbands and wives tonight, about being patient with one another. And folks, so many other things as well. If your faith is growing, you will see the evidence of it in your life. And that's a good thing. And then this last thing, the third thing that I want to bring out in regard to our faith is this. If we are not growing in our faith, then this third thing, then we should not be satisfied until it is. We should not be satisfied. And God will reveal that to us. The first reason why we should not be satisfied with growing in our faith is how much it will hinder the body of believers. Because if we're not growing by faith, that means that we're walking by sight. And that means that we're walking more on the carnal side of things. And that means that we're more likely to be an offense to our brothers. That's more likely that we're going to say something. Something's going to come out of our mouth that is going to create a rift between you and I. It's just so much better to walk with Christ. It's just so much better to walk by faith because we'll be much more inclined to be a blessing to somebody else, to be a blessing to the church. The mere fact that you and or I fail to become all that we're supposed to become and failing to grow in faith will certainly cause that to happen. It's obviously going to affect all of those around us in a very negative way, especially those closest to you, those that we live in the same home with. That's something that is very weighty that we ought to think about. That's why it's so important that we walk by faith because of those that it affects. Faith is a living thing, and if we're not experiencing it, folks, then it is probably just as sure that our lives are probably being characterized more by doubt than certainly by faith. Faith and doubt are both contagious. Which one do you want to spread? We've been dealing with something that was contagious here and still is contagious. But what about faith or doubt? Folks, we can be contagious in a good way. And people see something in your life and something in my life as we go through trials and difficulties, and they see a smile on our face, and they see that we're trusting in Christ. They see that we're trusting in the Lord. It'll do great wonders for the brethren. It'll do great wonders for those of us around us. Finally, we should not be satisfied when we're not growing in faith because more than anything else, it dishonors God. And that's the greatest of all things. It doesn't honor Christ. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, in fact, when you go to the chapter before that, the Lord showed himself
incredibly amazing to those who simply trusted him. There was the maniac of Gadara, and there was the woman with the issue of blood, and she just trusted him. Remember, she touched the hem of his garment. She reached out to him, and he healed her. And of course, he healed the maniac of Gadara, and then Jairus' daughter. When he came to her and said, my daughter is at the point of death, and then she dies. And those come out of his house as the Lord Jesus and Jairus are walking toward his house, and they said, why troublest thou the master any further? There's no need to trouble. Your daughter just died. And the Lord said, be not afraid, Jairus. Just only believe. Don't be afraid. And I'm sure Jairus just said, my daughter just died. And he said, let's just go. And he raised her up. But then after that, you go into chapter 6, and he was in his old stomping grounds right around Nazareth. And it says that he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and he healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Remember, when he went back to Nazareth, they said, we remember little Jesus growing up. We remember him. He can't be the Son of God. He's claiming to be the Messiah. Not that they ever saw anything wrong, because he was perfect. But they just remembered him growing up, and they just seemed to have some kind of disdain of the fact that they were too familiar with him. They wouldn't put their faith in him. It says he could only heal a few sick folk. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Folk, does that characterize you and I? Do we walk by unbelief? Do we just simply tell ourselves, there's no use praying for it. That's not going to happen. And the Lord looks at us and says, I've given you faith. Why aren't you using it? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 26 that the Lord shall be thy confidence. Is he our confidence? Do we say, Lord, there's no better person to give this to than to you. And I just trust you. And may your will be done. Not that we always know how things are going to play out. And God might not say yes to something that we pray for. But let's at least say, Lord, thy will be done. But I'll just trust you, and you just have your way in it. And God will be pleased with that. Israel was guilty of limiting the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm 78 and verse 41, may we not be guilty of that same trespass of limiting the Holy One of Israel. Folks, are we growing in our faith? Are we growing in our faith? If the answer is no, are we satisfied with that? And if the answer is yes, do we see visible signs that our faith is growing? Brethren, you and I should not cease to rest until we know that our faith is doing well. Because this word says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you know, I want to please him. I like the thought that God would be pleased with something that I do. And I know you do as well. And how good, again, would it be one day when we fall before him and he has opened up our whole life before him. Now, he won't do that with our sins, because they were judged at Calvary. And our sins have been washed away, but we are going to give an account of our life as a Christian and how we've served him. And don't you want to hear from his lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Folks, that won't happen unless we learn to live by faith and to trust him. Folks, we will be glad if we continually confront ourselves with these questions and seek to grow in our faith in hopes of glorifying him. And again, for somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage you to take that step of faith today to receive him as your Savior, the one who died for you, that you could have eternal life. Folks, I'd like you to bow your heads at this time. In just a moment, we'll have a word of prayer. But we've been talking about our faith. Can it be said about us, as it was said about the Thessalonian church, that thy faith groweth exceedingly? Our faith is growing exceedingly because we've learned to walk with the Lord. We've learned to trust him in every trial. We learn how to keep our face in this book. We learn how to pray without ceasing. And we just learn to realize that he's a God that we can trust. Well, maybe God's spoken to you today because maybe you haven't quite gotten there. Maybe your faith, even though you know Christ as your Savior, Christian, maybe it's not what it should be. Well, if God's spoken to your heart, then I hope you'll respond to him this morning or now this afternoon. Let me just ask you this question with your heads bowed. How many would say, Pastor Garcia, please pray for me. I want to see my faith grow exceedingly. And I see that God's spoken to me about maybe some shortcomings. God bless you. Listen, none of us have arrived. And may we continue to go forth, even if our faith is at a 7, 8, and 9. May we shoot for 10. May we say, Lord, help me to just get to the highest level I can get of trust and of faith in my walk with you. If God's spoken to your heart, Christian, I hope that you'll speak unto him about that issue, about where your faith is right now. Come to the altar or pray there at your seat, but I hope that you'll do business with God. Now, how about if there's somebody here today, maybe I'm speaking to somebody who you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know for sure if you died that you're going to heaven, but you'd say, Pastor Garcia, please pray for me. I don't know for sure if I died that I'm going to heaven, and I'm concerned about my soul. Is there anybody like that? Would you please raise your hand? You say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I want to know for sure that I have eternal life, that my sins are forgiven. Is there anybody like that? Okay, with that, let's just have a word of prayer, and in just a moment, we'll sing a hymn of invitation. Father, we come before you and pray and ask that you'd help us. Father, we know that you're pleased by a walk of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. Help us to be men and women, boys and girls of faith. We learn to trust your word. We learn to be in it every day. We learn how to walk with you. We learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help us to be individuals that bring a pleasure to you, that are pleasing unto you. Help us, Lord. We live in a time when there's a lot of ungodliness all about us. And what's needed are people that know you, that walk by faith, that can make a difference. Help us, Lord, that with this lost world around us to win people to Christ, to be a light in a dark world. Help us to truly walk by faith. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to you, I hope you'll respond to him today.
Song 467, I Need Thee Every Hour. Sing a few verses of this.